Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfelt. Today we have with us Ari. Ari, thanks so much for joining us and your willingness to share your journey with us. It's stories like yours that give our listeners that hope that they need to continue to push on to get better. So welcome.
Thank you.
So where do we start? Where were you living? Do you remember getting sick? Kind of where does your journey start?
Yeah. So mine started right after what was supposed to be like a fun trip. My brother and myself and my friend, we were biking cross country and camping in the forest. And we were doing a lot of like stealth camping too. So sometimes we would sleep without a tent. And
brave guys.
I remember just like crawling through like bushes in the dark, like, and probably where I picked up a tick. Because right after this trip, it was 3 months. Right after this trip, I had like horrible, horrible pain.
Hold on one second. You did a 3 month long camping journey?
Yeah, on bicycles. Yeah, and then camping in the forest.
Wow. Impressive. Okay. Thanks. Much braver than I ever would be. Sick or not sick.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And it's funny too, because we'd get woken up by the police sometimes and be like, you can't sleep here. And we're like, okay.
Well, kind of felt like a homeless person, right?
Yeah, for sure. We slept in a homeless shelter one night. The cops were like, you can't sleep here, go to the homeless shelter. And we're like, all right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And what state was this in?
We were riding from Florida, ended in Texas. So we rode from Florida to Texas.
Wow. Okay.
Along the coast.
Wow. Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah. Right after that trip. So we ended up catching a bus from Austin to San Diego. And then in San Diego, we rented an Airbnb and I just felt super burnt out. I didn't feel like my knee was really bothering me, but so was my like whole body. And I thought I had just like hurt myself. I thought I was just like burnt out, you know, from not sleeping well, like all this stuff, stress and exercise. And we were riding a couple hours a day. Then it just kind of kept getting worse. And then I started having pain everywhere. And then the pain just kind of never really went away. And then it took me some time to even realize there was something wrong with me. Like, cause I kept thinking I'm just burnt out. It's going to go away. And then never really went away. And I started going to doctors. The first person I went to, it was a gastroenterologist, because I noticed that certain foods would trigger my pain worse than others. Okay. You know, like the more unhealthy I ate, the worse I felt.
Okay.
So I started eating super healthy. I started, you know, doing all the elimination diets. Nothing really worked. And I started seeing this gastroenterologist. And it's funny, right? So this is like, right, I'm only a couple months into like my Lyme journey at this point. And he tests me for Lyme disease. Like he hears about the bike trip. And he's like, what are you up to? And I was like, I had him right after this bike trip. He's like, his first set is Lyme disease. Oh, by the way, this is in Los Angeles. So there's not like a ton of Lyme disease in Los Angeles, but he did think, oh, this might be Lyme disease. And then he tested me with a LabCorp test, which showed 2 out of 9 were positive, I guess, but which is like considered negative.
For the CDC, then, right?
Yeah, CDC, right? But he started treating me for like, I don't know, just all kinds of like leaky gut and like that, all these kind of things.
And did he not think you had Lyme based on that test?
He was surprised. I remember him being surprised because I was negative on that test for, or it might've been the next test, but I was negative for Borrelia, but I was positive for Bartonella. And he was like, that's unusual, because I don't usually see you go positive for Bartonella but negative for Borrelia. But we just kind of moved on. I don't really remember. We just kind of moved on.
Okay. All right. Kind of dismissed it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then a couple months later, I guess he was pretty convinced, because he wanted me to do a DNA connections Lyme test.
Okay.
So I did the DNA connections Lyme test, and then he, and I was positive for like three of them. I was positive twice for Babesia and one for Bartonella, but it was still like CDC negative. And then we still just moved on. We still were just like, oh, it might be something else.
Interesting.
I know. Yeah, it's funny. And then I guess what he wanted me to do, this might have been my own fault, right? Because I didn't want to spend so much money. He wanted me to do the Igenix test and he told me it would be $5,000.
Oh.
And I didn't want to spend $5,000.
I don't blame you.
So I kept kind of looking for other stuff. And I went to rheumatologists and I kind of went to every doctor I could find. I mean, because my knee was bothering me too. My knee and my elbow. I went to like a knee surgeons and specialists. So I was like, what's wrong with my knee? And they'd take MRIs and they'd be like, everything's fine. There's nothing wrong with your knee. Yeah, so.
And that happens a lot. We go, you know, and doing like just a regular blood panel, you know, that just everyday people go in yearly and get, you know, we can go in there and our blood work looks great. And I'm like, but I'm sick. Something's not right. And they're like, no, you're good. You're good. So.
Yeah. I remember I went to a rheumatologist and I had a stack of blood tests, like 2 inches high. And I was like, hey, I heard you're like, you know, great. Can you take a look at my blood tests? And he spent like 15 minutes looking through all my blood tests. He's like, wow, you tested for everything. He's like, I can't help you. You don't have any rheumatoid arthritis or anything like that. He pinched my finger. He's like, you don't have rheumatoid arthritis. And he was just like, good luck.
Wow.
And I just kept looking. I eventually went back to the gastroenterologist because I was still convinced it's something to do with food.
You say it had something to do with food because different foods would trigger you. You had said,
oh yeah, for sure. Like I wouldn't eat out anymore. Right. Like I started eating only at home and I'd eat only like rice and quinoa and salmon or like, I'm not vegan, but like, I would just eat like as clean as I could, like just broccoli and rice or like, and fruit. And, I would go to a restaurant like one time and I would come home and I would be in so much pain that all I could do was breathe. Like all I could do was sit there and just like, I'd feel this throbbing pain throughout my whole body. And I would just breathe and breathe and breathe. And I would take like, I don't know, 4 Aleve or 4 aspirin or whatever, and then wait, and that probably wouldn't be enough. And then I'd take like 4 more. And then I'd do that. And then I would go to sleep. And then the next day I'd have no pain, you know?
Yeah. So that would make you think that it had something to do with your food. So when you look at the big picture of it, so what were your issues? So you obviously had all over body pain. Did you have any other issues?
No, luckily just pain. Which I know that doesn't sound great to someone who doesn't have Lyme disease, but I think if you do have Lyme disease and you know all the different kinds of Lyme disease you can have, actually just having pain is probably one of the better options.
Right.
I didn't have brain fog and I didn't have fatigue. And I didn't really have any psych issues. And I met people with some psych issues and I was like, oh, sorry. But
yeah, no, some people get, I think I had everything you could have with Lyme, except I didn't ever get seizures, which I know some people even get seizures with Lyme. I think that was the only thing I didn't get, but yeah, I mean, I got to the point where I didn't know my name. So yeah, when we kind of look at it, pain is not too bad, right?
Right. Well,
so,
it's funny.
So then you went back to the gastroenterologist and that when you guys did the Igenix test?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's when he actually tried to get me to do the Igenix test, I think, and I didn't want to do it, but he was like convinced I had Lyme and I was like, fuck, all right, I don't really want to spend $5,000, but he sent me to another doctor named Dr. Perot to get my blood cleaned with ozone because he noticed that my blood test showed that I had like multiple bacterial and viral infections. And then he also saw that I had the MTHFR mutation, like, and he was like, I think you do have either Lyme or something like Lyme. I'm going to send you to this guy to get your blood cleaned with ozone. So I went to this other doctor named Dr. Perot And I sat down, I talked to Dr. Pirai, and like within a minute, he was like, you have Lyme disease. Let's take this Igenix test. Yes, it's $5,000, but you have to take it. And I was like, okay, fine. And then obviously I was positive for Lyme disease.
Wow. Okay. So what type of doctor was this that did the ozone therapy? Was he just a holistic doctor or a naturopath or?
It's funny, because both of my doctors after that, right? I started seeing Dr. Perot and Dr. Erica Lehman. Dr. Perot was a cardiologist that started treating like Lyme disease and just kind of general health stuff. He started like longevity kind of doctor after.
Okay.
And then the other doctor I started seeing, his partner, like he had an office with another doctor, and that doctor's name was Erica Lehman. And Erica Lehman used to be, what was she? Like, I think she was like an eye surgeon. Like, you know, she did LASIK. And she told me her story once, and she said that like 10 years ago, now she's just a Lyme specialist. She said 10 years ago, her friend got Lyme disease, and she went with her to all these doctor appointments, and she realized none of the doctors knew anything or weren't able to help her at all. So she started researching Lyme disease and then started helping patients with Lyme disease.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, we need more doctors that do something other than just traditional, you know, Western medicine. So I love hearing that story. Good for her. Okay, yeah. So now you got these two doctors and you've got a positive Lyme test. You had mentioned earlier they had thought you had Bartonella and Babesia.
Yeah, the Igenix test only showed Borrelia and Babesia, but no Bartonella.
Okay.
And I didn't really have Bartonella symptoms, which I think were more of the psych ones. I just had the really bad muscle pain and then really bad joint pain, which she told me was the Borrelia and the Babesia. So it worked out, made sense. So let me jump back a minute because what actually started happening is I saw Dr. Perot and he got me the Igenix test and then he's not actually a Lyme specialist. He just prescribed me disulfiram.
Okay.
And which is, I don't know, for everyone who doesn't know, it's a treatment for malaria that I think never really took off. And they actually use it now for alcoholics. Alcoholics take disulfiram every single day. And then if you drink while you take disulfiram, you get very sick.
Okay, yes. That's about as much as I know about disulfiram, but I know a lot of people use it to treat Lyme. So you started that after you got your diagnosis.
Yeah. So okay. I started on disulfiram. And obviously if you go on like the Facebook groups, there's some great stories with disulfiram, like people who, pretty much just cure the Lyme disease forever after like a couple months. But there's a lot of people like me who struggle really badly with the side effects. I had horrible, horrible, horrible side effects. This went on for like 7 months before I got off it, but I started having the worst pain I'd ever had. And I started not be able to think. I started becoming really confused. I have a degree in finance, and then I became a certified financial planner, and I was studying math. I was finishing up for my CFP exam, and I stopped I couldn't do math anymore.
Wow.
And I was so confused. And this is when I was probably at my lowest emotionally, you know, because I couldn't think anymore. And like when I couldn't, when you can't think, it's like, I started to be like, what's the point? I'm not going to be able to do anything by myself anymore. I couldn't drive anymore. I had panic attacks, you know, about being in car accidents, and all while my pain is, you know, the worst it's ever been. I'm only getting worse. I'm not getting any better.
Right. So what did your, cause I know on disulfiram, they like increase it like slowly over time. So were they continuing to increase the disulfiram even though you were getting worse? And what was your doctor saying about that?
I guess it's like one of those things that people kind of say like, it gets worse, but you just need to go up slowly.
It gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah. And then you'll stop and then you'll feel good again.
Okay. Hello. All right. So this went on for, you were on disulfiram for 7 months.
7 months.
And it just kept going downhill.
Yeah. I came home and I couldn't do it anymore. I started becoming suicidal. I remember telling my mom, I was like, I don't know, guys, like, I'm not going to be able to do this like much longer.
Well, you go from all, you know, and pain is a lot. That's a huge thing. But you go from just having overall body pain with your Lyme to now like getting all these other side effects that a lot of Lyme people deal with. So it's like you're adding to all your Lyme symptoms by trying to treat it with disulfiram. So that would definitely be very frustrating, I would say.
Yeah, I was just getting worse and worse.
So what did your doctor say about that? I mean, what?
He just wanted me to go up more slowly, like near the last 2 months. So for 5 months, I was on the disulfiram, seeing him regularly. And then I was just having like a complete mental breakdown. So I heard about a place called New Life Thailand, which is like a retreat center in Thailand. And people go there for different things. They go there for addiction, or they go there for burnout, or they go there for medical issues, usually burnout from medical issues. So I went there for the last 2 months, and it's a retreat where they have food and you kind of like work 2 hours a day and you meditate and do yoga and stuff.
And this was in Thailand?
Yeah, in Thailand.
Okay.
And it's not expensive, in case anyone wants to know about it. It's like $50 a day. So like $1,500 a month, and they feed you and they house you and stuff. It was amazing for me, because I was really losing it. But the thing is, even while I was there, I remember I was taking my disulfiram and I was going up with my dose just slowly, and I was sleeping like 12 to 14 hours a day. I had so much pain. I couldn't really like do a lot of some days I couldn't do work that they wanted. Like, you know, it was like simple work. Like we would go like pick worms, like out of the, like they had like a compost bin, like a worm compost bin. And we would just like do just like simple stuff in chat. But some days I'd be like working and I'd be like, I have to go back to my room. And I'd go back to my room and I'd sleep or something.
So with the disulfiram, I mean, so you start to lose it. So you had kind of like a mental, in addition to body pain, you had kind of mental. So when you say losing it, what does that mean? I mean, what did that entail?
Losing it was my own willpower to like kind of keep living, I guess. I just kind of felt like I was like not really living life anymore. And I remember being depressed, thinking like, is this going to be how my life ends? I'm going to like not, you know, I'd be like 25, 26, like, and then kill myself from Lyme disease, or just be like stupid the rest of my life. And that I just couldn't really handle that.
And I tried talking to
my
mom,
my brother about it. Yeah.
So
I tried talking about it, but
yeah,
that's not a good conversation, I think, for your parents. They don't really want to hear your kid. What parent wants to hear a kid think I'm like, oh, I want to kill myself because my life sucks?
Right. But at least, I mean, you were reaching out to them, and were they, you know, there's a lot of controversial about Lyme disease, even when it comes to your family. And some people just don't believe in it, or, you know, think you're a hypochondriac. Were you getting the support that you needed from your brother and your parents, and it just didn't matter? Because once we're kind of in that zone of, if this is how my life is, I just don't want to live it.
I got support in that they believed me, but I feel like they didn't really want to believe how sick I was. It's more like the issue. Like, it's just a sad thing, I think. Like, it's just hard to accept, like, you know, the mortality of anybody, especially your, you know, brother or son or whatever.
Right, right.
And did you feel, I'm curious kind of how you felt in relationship to them, meaning how did you feel like you were a burden to them? Did you feel like, you know, I don't want to bring this up because they're dealing with stuff anyway? Did they, I mean, how did you feel in that area? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, it sucked. Obviously, because that was all I talked about. right, for a couple of years. And that was all I did was go to doctors. I was like kind of doing this like online master's program, the financial planning program at the same time, but I would do that and then complain. And I didn't really have time for friends because, you know, I spent all the time going to doctors and I couldn't go out to eat and I couldn't really walk. So I didn't really have friends. And I couldn't really have a job. I was like, my career wasn't really working. So I talk about Lyme disease all the time. And I think I did feel like a burden for sure. I definitely felt like a burden. And then, you know, I had some friends and I remember once breaking down crying on this hike with two of my friends thinking like, saying, I was like, it's funny because it's not funny, but I started to use drugs kind of because I was like coping. And I was using these like ketamine drugs. And I remember we were on this hike on ketamine. And the ketamine was great for me because it also would make all my pain go away. And then it'd make all my depression go away because I just can't think about that stuff while I'm high. But I remember breaking down, bawling on this hike and saying like, you know, the two friends I was with, one of them just got a job as like a consultant and the other one's an artist and they're like living life. And I'm like, how am I going to do my things, like the things I want to do in life? And I was like, and one of my friends, he was really sweet. He was like, no, we'll help you. Like, I'll help you, bro. I'll do all this stuff for you. And I'm like, what are you going to do for me, dude? Like, you're going to start a business for me? Like, you can't start a business for me. Can't work for me. Like, and it was sweet, but you know, it didn't really help.
Just unrealistic, you know. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
as an outsider, you want to kind of, how can I fix this? And then you just kind of throw things out there, you know, to try to fix it. And obviously it's unrealistic.
Well, and I think that, yeah, you know, our loved ones, our friends and our family, they go through a lot when they watch us go through this journey. And, you know, like cancer, for example, somebody gets cancer in your family and so many people don't even know how to reach out to them. They don't know what they should say to them. They don't know, should I say, I'm sorry? Should, you know, and so a lot of people just don't, they just don't reach out. And, mm-hmm, you know, I think the same is for Lyme disease because it is such a confusing disease for everybody involved, even the doctors. And so sometimes they just don't know what to do or what to say.
For sure.
And it must be, yeah, hard for you, you know, like you're saying here, you're seeing your peers and how they're progressing in life. And, mm-hmm, and then you kind of are not, I mean, cause you're stuck in that same pain cycle, stuck in that, you know, so I get how that is difficult. So Tell me a little bit, you know, it's going back to your so-called retreat. You were there for a couple of months, and
yeah, 2 months.
2 months. And so what was kind of, was it after that you felt like I'm done with disulfiram? Yeah, I need to move on. And so what was your next step? I mean, what did you decide? I mean, I'm stopping this, and I assume you had kind of a next step planned out at that point.
Yeah. Yes, I went home and I had to do some stuff. Like I had some family issues down in Florida. I remember going to Florida and, we were down there and I was in so much pain. And I just remember telling my mom and brother, I was like, I gotta get off this. Like, I can't do this drug anymore. And I without consulting my doctor, I was like, I'm done with this drug. And weird because I didn't expect to feel so much better when I got off, but within like 3 days, I was almost euphoric for how much better I could think. Like, I was able to like have these like really intense, like detailed conversations because I was dealing with this like legal issue. And we had a lawyer and we were going to like these like meetings and stuff like that. And like when I was on the disulfiram, it was sad. I was like not keeping up. And then after I got off the disulfiram, I felt like sharp and I was able to like talk and like hold my own. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know how bad I was. So I got off, and then we went back to Los Angeles, and then I went to see this doctor, Dr. Perot, and I told him I got off of this. I had to get off this. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I was like, I want to see Dr. Lehman, because Dr. Lehman was actually like a Lyme specialist. And so I started seeing Dr. Lehman, and I told her, I was like, hey, I was having all these side effects from the disulfiram. And she was like, oh, well, yeah, like we should have got you off the disulfiram so long ago. Like that, you know, I can't remember what she was saying, but she said it was something like a buildup of something in my brain. And
like ammonia or
ammonia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what she said. You probably understand better than me, but she said it was a buildup of ammonia in my brain. I don't know if that has something to do with my that gene mutation I have, like the MTH, the detox mutation, but so I started seeing her, and she had a ton of ideas, which was really nice, because I had been lost for like no doctors had any idea what to do. When you finally start seeing like a doctor who specializes in Lyme disease and they have all these ideas, you're pretty excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
So do you
expensive?
It's expensive. Yeah, their ideas are expensive. I know. Yeah. Not just getting the time with them, but then also the treatment. So you got off the disulfiram, you had this euphoric feeling. Did that last then, or was it just kind of temporary? And how about your body pains and all these other things? I mean, did that shift as well for the better?
Yeah. It did. It shifted from unbearable, sleeping all the time, horrible pain all the time, to like, okay, this sucks, but like I can keep going.
But you can function. Yeah.
Yeah, to function. I could like, because of my knee, I could kind of like limp. I'm not limp, but like I walk around the house and my knee just hurts. But it wasn't like, and then in this whole time period, by the way, I had 3 surgeries on my elbow from like an old rock climbing injury, which I'm pretty sure the Lyme disease made all of that, the healing worse. So that wasn't fun. But let's see.
So you felt better, then you met with her, and yeah, what kind of ideas did she have?
She had me on a ton of different herbs. I don't even remember them, but just all these like herbs. She kind of mixed both like Western and Eastern medicine. I did a lot of herbs, and we did this ozone blood cleaning. And I also did antibiotics. So I did the oral antibiotics, I did intramuscular antibiotics, and I did IV antibiotics. And I did the blood cleaning, which was the 10-pass ozone treatments, along with, I had high metal in my blood. And so we did chelation. And I did all of this for like 5 months. And at times I felt better, but honestly, what was happening was I kept getting worse and worse and worse. And it may have just been because my gut got completely wrecked from all the antibiotics. I'm not really sure. But I started to kind of lose hope again because it wasn't really working. It was kind of managing my symptoms, but they seemed to be getting worse and stuff wasn't being managed anymore. And I was starting to give up again. And this is funny. My mom was really into gut health, and she was really into like, she always read about FMT, like fecal matter transplant. And I was like, she told me about it years ago. And I was like, I'm not doing that. But at this point I was willing to try anything. And I was like, even if I can just fix my gut health, I'll be happy, you know, cause that's one thing. And then I can keep focusing on the Lyme disease. But I did the FMT. We did oral and enemal FMT. I could talk more about how I did all that or got it and stuff like that, like if you guys need or want, but I did it. And then like 2 or 3 days later, I was crying tears of joy because I just felt hope. Like my gut, my body just felt better. And I think all my neurotransmitters started like, was so much better just because all the neurotransmitters being in the gut. And it was wild. That was like literally the turning point was when I did the FMT. And I just want to say, like, I don't think it's FMT that cured me. I think that I did all the antibiotics. I at least got my Lyme under control because I had these like negative Lyme tests, but I was still having all these symptoms. And then I did the FMT and then I started to feel better. So I don't think you can just do FMT when you're full, like when you're really, really sick and you'll just be fixed. But so, that was wild. And
So do you think that kind of the disulfiram kind of, even though you felt horrible, that it kind of cleared out some things, and then the antibiotic, even though you're starting to feel worse and it wrecking your gut, it cleared out a lot of the, you know, different pathogens, you know, the Lyme bugs. And then after doing that, then do you kind of do the restorative therapy, which FMT would be, and it would have worked then. It wouldn't have worked kind of prior to. Is that what you're thinking, or?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. That's exactly what I think. I think you have to do, I mean, at least I felt like I had to do a lot of clearing out first. We also did all those binders for the mold. I forgot to tell you, I had our house was in the 99th percentile for mold.
Wow.
And we moved. So I didn't want to move. You know, who wants to move? But we moved. So I did all the binders, you know, 3-4 times a day, plus the antibiotics, plus all these things. And then, yeah, when I did the FMT, I think my body was like ready to like start feeling better. So which was pretty awesome.
So tell me about, you know, for people out there and they're interested about FMT. I mean, what are some of the resources? I have friends that have gone to like England, you know, to do FMT. Yeah. What are some of the resources that they can kind of look up?
Okay. I mean, I hate prescribing like Facebook groups because everyone hates them. And I don't think you should get medical advice from a Facebook group, but I feel like if you do have a doctor that you trust and then you read some stuff on the internet, you can find some good stuff, because I figured out all the stuff about FMT from the internet because, you know, my doctor said, she loves FMT. She's heard great things about FMT, but she's not allowed to treat me with FMT unless I have C. diff, and I was negative for C. diff. So you can you can fly to England or Canada to the Taymount Clinic. It's, I think it's Taymount, and they'll do FMT. It's like a 10-day program. Well, they'll do like you do an FMT from a different donor for 10 days straight. I didn't really want to spend the money to fly to England and then do it to Taymount Clinic, which I think is something like $10,000. But, you know, it's funny, you end up spending that much money anyways, because I bought these FMTs off of the internet. So there's like these donor banks, and they have like, you know, quality tested donors who've like never taken antibiotics, or they haven't taken antibiotics in like 15 years. They have great gut biodiversity. And, you know, and then there's all these Facebook groups. This is why I do like Facebook groups, is because you get all these reviews and they're saying like, oh, I used this organization, and the organization that I like now is called microbioma.org. But the first one I used was, I think this is how I got into the FMT, is because my mom sent me a YouTube video of a Vice interview of a guy who sells poop for money, you know, and it was like a 15-minute Vice video on this guy. It's called MG Infusions, and he like eats healthy and he's active and he has a good job or something like that, you know, all this like stuff, and he like sells his poop to people. And I was like, okay, you know, it was like a high quality, like high production value video, and I was like, I'll try it, I'll order from this guy. I ordered from him, and I just did it all myself at home. That's the one that worked really well. And then that's when I started reading much more on the Facebook groups, learning about like different donors are better than others, you know, how to do it. You want to like clear out your gut first, fast. People agree on different things, right? Some people say take antibiotics for a couple of weeks before you do the FMT, so your gut is empty. And then some people say you don't want to take any more antibiotics. In the beginning, I didn't take any antibiotics, and I did the FMT, and I definitely felt I got results. I definitely got results. But like nowadays where I'm at is a lot better than after my first FMT. I did those FMTs the first time, and I probably did a couple more over the first year, and my gut got pretty good and my health got pretty good, but I wouldn't say I was like fixed. And then I had to get on antibiotics for 3 months because my doctor, I had like a bladder infection, and my doctor put me on these antibiotics for like 3 months, and I had really bad herxing, like really bad pain from the antibiotics for the first like 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. And then the pain all went away. And then I was like pretty much pain free for like 2 months. And then I did FMT a bunch. I was like, okay, I've been on antibiotics for 3 months straight, oral antibiotics. I'm gonna do a bunch of FMT right after. And right after I did a bunch of FMT, both oral and enema. And then I did for like a couple of weeks. And I've never had a healthier gut than after that. I mean, my gut was like bulletproof for like for a while. It was healthier than it had ever been my whole life, like growing up. And so I feel like this whole battle is kind of like it's a constant back and forth, two steps forward, one step back. You have to clear stuff and then heal and then do regenerative and then clear stuff and then regenerative and do all this stuff. And after the FMT started to make me feel better and hopeful, and like, I don't know, I just started to do pretty well. Oh, this is a really interesting thing I want to tell you about. What is it called? Where did I write that? So there's a genetic blood test called the Gini test. It's like a Shoemaker protocol test. And this was a complete, but I did this Shoemaker test and my test results were so bad. My chronic inflammation test results and all this stuff were like all, I don't know, they have it like in this color-coded format, but it's like all bright red, way abnormal. And it's like a genetic, like epigenetic test. And I was like, and something was even like so bad that the lab was like, we don't even know why you would have these opposite. Well, let's redo the test for you for free. And I was like, okay, fine. Obviously, I was upset that my test results were so bad. But I was also like, you know, you kind of feel good because you're like, okay, good. It's not just in my head. You're like, test results are, yeah.
Right. We need that confirmation.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well, great. Awesome. My inflammation test results are terrible. That's so cool. But so I'm like, okay, fine. And then right after I got those test results, I did the first FMT. And then that was when I started to feel good, like for the very first time. And then we redid the test results like a month later, and my test results were completely different. Like all of my inflammation markers were like zero. Like the test was just like, I was like, oh, like I was so much healthier. And it had only been like a month after my first FMT.
That's awesome. That's wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is such powerful medicine. Yeah. So right now, how are you feeling right now? I mean, where are you at? You body pains, gut focus, energy, what are you feeling right now?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. This is more of like a mental part of, I think, Lyme disease, is that because I feel like I lost 5 or 6 years, you know, I think that I'm too busy trying to catch up. And I am quite stressed out, I would say, because I'm working a lot. But I really try and remember the fact that like I can work now.
Yeah.
You know, like I could actually go to work. I can have a job. I can like do things. And I'm trying to like reduce the amount I'm working. But like the fact that I can work at all is amazing. I'm so happy, honestly.
Yeah. I know that feeling. Yeah. I just started back at the gym a couple of months ago. And, you know, there's some mornings I wake up, I'm like, oh, really? And I'm like, Tanya, remember when you couldn't dream of going to the gym? Get your butt up and go to the gym, you know, because we can do it now. We need to remember all the things for all those years that we lost that we couldn't do and not take for granted that, you know, we're capable of working and our brain works and our body works. And it truly is an amazing feeling.
Yeah. It's hard to remember all the time, but it's amazing.
Yeah. It is.
Well, this is an awesome story. Yeah, I really, really appreciate you. I mean, because these are some gems for people that are going through similar things. So I really appreciate this. This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for sharing your story. And if you ever get out there and do that 3-month-long mountain biking and whatever, just sleep in a tent, use lots of tick repellent.
Do
the smart things now that we're so educated on it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you both. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.